This morning we want to talk about mothers. It's Mother's Day. But not your typical Mother's Day message. As I was praying this week, the Lord reminded me of something that is not often spoken of, and that is the motherly attributes of God. Now, before you grab your rocks and start to stone me for heresy, I know that God is our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, when you pray, pray our Father which art in heaven. I'm not disputing that. And for those feminists who try to make God gender neutral, we understand that's not the God of the Bible. He is the Heavenly Father. With that being said, we know that God made Adam and Eve, and so the attributes of a mother did come from God. Are you with me? And you know, every mother who has the yearning to hold a baby, every woman who has the yearning to fix up her house, everyone who has the yearning to care when a little one cries or gets hurt, this motherly attribute came from a God of love. Amen. And so even as God is our Heavenly Father, we know that there are motherly attributes of God. And so the first attribute, we've got three this morning. Isn't that what a good sermon's supposed to have? 3 points, right? So this morning, the first one, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 23. I think everybody's there but me. Matthew 23. Bobby, could you get me a little OJ, brother? Thank you. Matthew 23, and we're going to read verse 37. This is Jesus praying. And he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that kills the prophets and stones them which are sent unto you, how often I would have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but you would not let me. So here we see Jesus praying for his people and saying, I would yearn to gather you as a mother hen gathers her little chickens under her wings. Now, if you've never seen a mother hen in the conditions of a rainstorm, thank you, brother. Everybody give Bobby a big hand right here. All right, there we go. All right. If you've never seen a rain or a storm or something coming, and what God put in a mother chicken, a mother hen, she will raise her feathers, arms out, and begin to cluck real loud, and all those little baby chicks come running under her wings for protection. God did that. God put that in that chicken. Amen. That chicken didn't have to grow up and go to chicken university to learn how to call her chicks. This was something that was put there by God. And in the same way, God puts these attributes in mothers, in women, right? Now, this is an attribute of God because Jesus is saying that he, like this mother chicken, has a yearning to motherly protect his people. And aren't you glad? That word gather there in the text, as a hen gathers her chicks, comes from the Greek word episuago. I'm not Greek, so that's the best I can do. And it comes from two root words, which means to prepare to assemble. To prepare to assemble. We know what an assembly is. It's where people come together. They have assemblies of gods, right? That when I read that, it kind of made me think, well, you know what? I guess the church is the wings of God, isn't it? It's where we assemble under his protection. That's a good plug for Don't Miss Church, right? Now, I want to read you an article because I did not grow up on a farm. I was a city dweller. So I want to read you an article by someone who did, as they examined this motherly hen attribute. Mother hen seems to have a terrible time trying to get those fast-moving, hard-headed chicks to obey. She would cluck them to her, settle down on them to keep them warm, and then one by one, we would see heads start peeping out from all directions. She will settle down again and fluff out some more, and in a moment, heads would all pop out again. Hard as she would try, these chicks were determined that something was more interesting than staying warm and safe under her wings. The chicks were only a few days old when the weather forecaster predicted a hard freeze. We threw extra hay in the barn, shut all the windows and doors, and watched as the horses snuggled together in their cozy stalls. The chickens all nested for the evening in their chicken house side. The hen and her brood settled in their soft nest. As we could have predicted, those curious little chicks would not stay under her. She went all through the routine of fluff and rearrange several times, but heads continued to pop out. We left for the night wondering if the hen would ever get a wink of sleep because of these 14 rebellious chicks. When we opened the farm door the next morning, the mother's hen's usual patience gave way to panic. With agitation and frenzy, she cackled incessantly. Strewn around her were 8 frozen dead chicks. The other 6 were huddled together deep under her feathers, never moving. Paralyzed, I surveyed the scene. All I could see were dead chicks. Poor mother hen. She had tried so hard to keep those chicks safe, warm, and protected, but whatever it was that attracted their attention, flies on the wall, the flicker of the barn light, or just plain curiosity as to what is out there in the big world, it was more of a temptation to them to pursue these things than staying safe and secure under her warm wings. What a great lesson of life it is that we, as those little chicks with a tendency to curiosity and rebellion, need to heed the words of Jesus, that motherly attribute of God saying, don't do it, come under my wings and let me keep you safe. And so we see the first, as I said earlier, the first attribute of the motherly attribute of God is that of protection. God wants to protect us. We think that when God has these thou shall nots, that he's a big killjoy. He doesn't want me to have any fun. He wants me to just wear plain clothes suits and just stay in church all the time and never have fun. God loves you like a mother loves you, and he wants to keep you safe. Amen. The second motherly attribute of God is one of comfort. He is comforting. I think every one of us can look back and remember times in our life when our mother comforted us. I remember in fifth grade coming home, holding back the tears. I didn't say anything to my mother. I just went in my room and laid on my bed. And as mothers are, she could tell something was wrong. Something had happened that day in fifth grade that had upset me. And back then, you know, we went steady by giving ID bracelets to girls. How many of you guys remember that era? I don't know if anybody grew up in that era. You would get these ID bracelets and you'd have your name engraved on them at TGNY. And then you went steady with this little girl. And that day, my girlfriend broke up with me by giving me my ID bracelet back. And Mom came in and said, "What's the matter, Roger?" "Nothing. I'm lying on my bed." And she said, "No, what's wrong?" You know, and of course, you know, the dam burst, you know, and all these emotions and tears. But Mom's there. Mom understands. Mom can read you like a book. And Mom's comfort. Amen. I remember when I first got out of the Air Force, and we settled in Tulsa, in West Tulsa, where I grew up. And I tell you, things were tough financially. I was having trouble paying my bills and the rent and food and all of these things. And I remember saying to my mom one day, I don't know how I'm going to make it, Mom. And, you know, anyone could have said, "Oh, you'll make it. It'll be all right." But the way mothers say it, they're like a warm blanket of assurance. "It'll be all right, Raj. You'll see. You'll make it. You'll get through this." Wow. That attribute came from God. God comforts us in our problems in life. Amen. One of the ways God comforts us is through the Psalms. Psalm 119:50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has quickened or made me alive." And I tell you, you know, sometimes at my lowest point, I will read the Psalms and feel that same warm, comforting feeling from God that we know from our mothers, because God comforts us. You know, Jesus had a lot of people following him in the day. He had a big crowd. And then he had his disciples, the 12 disciples. But he also had an inner three. His inner three was Peter, James, and John. And we are told, I've went to classes where, you know, you're supposed to make disciples, that you will disciple crowds and you will disciple, you know, the outer group, and you should have your inner three. You know, they teach you that, right, as you're discipling people. James and John were brothers, and they were the son of a man named Zebedee, but Jesus called them, anybody know what he called them? Sons of Thunder. Sounds like an A&E shoot 'em up movie, Sons of Anarchy or something, right? Sons of Thunder. And one day as they were on their way to Jerusalem, they go through a Samaritan city. Now, you know, the Samaritans hated the Jews, and the Jews hated the Samaritans, and so it was not uncommon as they traveled in those days. Everybody was hospitable. They weren't like this. So if you're on a journey somewhere, you look and you say, "Do you have a room we can spend the night?" That's what you did back then. But this Samaritan town refused to let Jesus and his disciples stay there. And so John said, "Lord, do you want me to just call fire from heaven and toast them all?" You know, and Jesus, like, "Calm down, John," you know. So you can kind of see that John probably lived up to his name as Sons of Thunder. And we don't really know what that means, but it probably means that his dad was very strict, that his dad was maybe harsh, that John did not grow up in a loving, comforting home, but more of a home of fire and brimstone, so to speak. Well, these two brothers as disciples go from one end of the spectrum to the other, because James was the first one to be martyred. We just barely get in the book of Acts and it says, you know, that he was killed with a sword. Bam, James is gone. And at the other end of the spectrum, John lived to be an old man. He's the only disciple that wasn't martyred and supposedly died of old age. Now, taking that into consideration, when we look at the letters that John wrote, not the gospel, but the letters, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, in 1 John, he uses the word love 40 times. 40 times. And so one must ask, what happened to this man who didn't clearly loved the Samaritans when he wanted to call fire from heaven. What changed in this man's life? And the answer, of course, was Jesus. So John didn't start out as the apostle of love. He started out as a son of thunder. He started out cold, unloving, uncaring, vengeful. But Jesus, the picture of love and comfort, made a difference in his life. We read in John 13, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And of course, John in his gospel always referred to himself as the third party, in a second person, you know, because he didn't want to point to himself. This was John. And we find him often laying his head on Jesus' shoulder, on his chest. And he points out, I'm the one that Jesus loved. Now, of course, Jesus loved them all, but there was such a void, I believe, in John's life from being raised as the son of thunder, that the thing that he lacked the most is the thing he received the most from Jesus Christ, and that is love and comfort. And so he was very proud to point out there was this disciple who was just laying and soaking up like a sponge the love and comfort of God through Jesus Christ. And he's the one, by the way, that Jesus loved. I can't help but wonder if maybe John never got love growing up. At least the love that you and I often want to feel, the tender, soft. I'm sure his dad thought providing a roof over his head was love. And you hear, you know, well, I've given you this and this, but we know that love is much more than what you get. It is that connection that you need, that comfort. You know, at this point, Peter in the text, Simon Peter beckons to him that he should ask him who he's speaking about. This is the one that was going to betray him. And then he, lying on Jesus' breast, said, Lord, who is he? So the point is he continues to lay there. This is his lounging position next to Jesus because he is receiving comfort from God. Now, Jesus knew that John would continue to need that love long after he was gone, that he needed the kind of love that only a mother could give. And during his ministry years, Jesus fulfilled that in his life. And maybe you have lost your mother this morning, and maybe you don't know what it feels like to feel the arms of your mother, or her gentle smile, or the twinkle in her eye. So I want you to know that God can and does fill that gap. He cares. But amidst in the agony and the pain of the cross, Jesus sees below him John and Mary, his mother. And if it were you and I, with nails through us, hanging, gasping for every breath, blood in our eye, we would probably be thinking of our own pain and suffering, but that's not God. He is still thinking about others. He is still concerned about John's need for that motherly type of love. And he says, he sees his mother and his disciple John, whom he loved, and he says to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he says to that disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour on, that disciple John took her into his own home. Jesus performed an adoption ceremony from the cross because he recognized that John needed a mother. And his mother needed John. Who but God could care about our needs so great? The third motherly attribute of God is somewhat unusual. In fact, the word popped in my head because I knew what I wanted to say, and I said, Lord, that's really not the word I'm looking for. But there was no other word. So we've got number one, protective. Number two, comforting. The third word is evangelistic. You say, well, how is that a motherly attribute? When we think of evangelism, we think of seeking to convert others to the Christian faith, like a missionary. But another definition is zealously advocating a particular cause. How many of you know a time in your life when your mother zealously advocated a cause? Campaigning is another word. You know, don't you dare go to that place, right? Do you see where I'm coming from? The book of Ruth is about two women, Naomi and Ruth. They lost all the men in their life. Naomi's husband died. Ruth was her daughter-in-law. Her husband died. Orpah was her other daughter-in-law. Her husband died. Three women without husbands. And Ruth has decided she's going to go back from Moab to Israel and tells these two daughter-in-laws of hers to go on and back to Moab and find them another husband. And it says, they lifted up their voice and wept, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave to her. Cleave. Hung on to. Wouldn't let go. Now, Naomi is a Jewish mother-in-law to the Moabite woman Ruth, and they both lost their husbands. But rather than returning to Moab, Ruth insisted that she was going with Naomi, her mother-in-law, saying, where you go, I will go. Where you dwell, I will dwell. Your God will be my God, and your people will be my people. Right? That's a determined woman. And she is going with her mother-in-law, regardless of what she says. Now, Naomi has to make a decision too. And this is where the evangelistic part comes in. Because it has nothing to do with family. Hear me out. It has nothing to do with family. She's daughter-in-law, right? And as much as we say that's family, and it is, but, you know, you grew up with all these others, or you've been married for years with all these others. These are someone who just comes in through the son. And so Naomi has to make a decision in her life to reach out and be a mother of this daughter-in-law, right? As much as Ruth wants her to be her mother, she has to choose to be the mother of this daughter-in-law. And in the story, Naomi begins to coach Ruth as to what to do as this rich man, Boaz, begins to make known his desire for her. Now that is a mother, isn't it? You know, she's saying, okay, well, don't do this, and don't be pushy, and just lay back and let him make this first move. And so you got this soap opera. This woman soap opera story going on as Ruth is becoming the mother of her daughter-in-law. And as Naomi is becoming, as Naomi is becoming the mother of her daughter-in-law and as Ruth is becoming her daughter. And so why is it evangelistic? Because God has placed in every woman this beautiful attribute of motherhood. And it should never end when your kids are raised. There are women who do not have a mother. And there are women who do not have a daughter. There are women who, though they have this maternal desire to be a mother, can't mother anymore. There are daughters who have this desire to have a mother and let them give them advice, and they have no mother. And so it is evangelistic in that God has called mothers to be an extension of His love to other women. Amen? And that is our call today. God is calling you to zealously use your gift, ladies, to be a mother to the motherless woman and to be a daughter to the daughterless mother. Amen. And so, as we prepare to close this morning on this Mother's Day, we certainly honor mothers, but mothers, I have a challenge for you. Keep being moms. I tell you, you know, Carolyn and I have been married almost 5 years, and I let her mother know early in our relationship, you are the only mother I have now. That's my mom. I have adopted her. Much in the same way as Jesus told John, behold your mother. You know, men need moms too. We need mothers. And mothers need children. Let's all stand. Nola, come on up. Hallelujah. We read in Psalm 68 with Eddie's reading that God is a father to the fatherless. I believe he's also a mother to the motherless. I believe that he wants to be there for you. And if you're here this morning and maybe you have some needs in your life, I encourage you to fasten your eyes on a God who is a God of love, a God of protection. Don't be like those little chicks that are so hard-headed they will not let God's loving wings of protection keep them safe from the storms of life. Allow God in his motherly nature to mother you. Don't be a rebellious chick. Come under his protective wings. Feel his safety and security. Let him motherly and fatherly care for you this morning. Also, not only does he want to protect you, he does want to comfort you. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. God knows what you're going through this morning, and it doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been. He said, I will be with you even to the end. Let God comfort you this morning. And finally, the challenge to evangelistically be a mom to someone. You know, there's a lady at my work who has been my spiritual mom for about as long as I've worked there, that I've cried on her shoulder and she's cried on mine at times. Everybody needs a mother. And I remember the church I got saved at, Jeannie Mayo, a lot of people called her mom because she was a spiritual mother. What is a spiritual mother? It's someone that tells you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Amen. So, as we pray this morning, don't run from God. Run to him. His arms are open wide, and he cares for every need in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you are our Heavenly Father, that you provide for us, that you watch out for us, that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us, that you spared not your own Son but delivered him up that we might be saved through the precious blood of Jesus. But you also reminded us this morning that you have some motherly attributes because you created mothers, that you are comforting and that you are protective and that you care. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we have been like those rebellious chicks, and help us to take heed to the warning that we heard in the story of all those little chicks that lost their life because they refused to allow their mother hen to keep them warm and safe in the storms of life. Forgive us for our rebellion, our stubbornness, and help us, Lord, to come under those wings this morning and let you mother us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your life and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him have the things that hold you, and His Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you for coming today. God bless you. Give someone a big hug before you go.